I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't wish everybody a happy Independence Day weekend. We had the paras over at the house on Friday. I'm a member of the Parachute Regimental Association, so I said, you'll have to come over and celebrate Independence Day with us. And they asked, independence from who? I said, independence from friends. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. My mom would try to take us to church on Easter and Christmas, but most of the times we didn't attend church. God in His grace and His mercy, through the preaching of His Word and through the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, and most importantly, I think, by the witness of true Christians that I was able to observe, is how He called me and how He drew me to Him. I joined the service after high school, and in the mid-80s, I was tasked by my squad leader to train a new guy that we got into the company. His name was John Hendrickson. So I had a two-week training period with John, and John was a Christian. He was well-grounded in the Word of God, and he lived a faithful Christian witness. So I had 2 weeks with him, and after he was trained up, then he was shipped over to another platoon. So we didn't get to see too much of each other, even though we were still in the same company together. About a year later, after this train-up, we deployed to Italy, and we were there for about a six-month train-up. We were doing reverse cycle training, which means we trained at night and in the daytime, then we slept. And John was a member of the company then, and he was a member that deployed as well. We were billeted in a military barracks, and the Lord had been convicting me for some time, my lifestyle. And, you know, I think that my training with John also had an influence over that the Lord was working again through his witness and the words that he had given me. So I was starting to try to lead a more moral life, I guess, a better life, to be a good person, or what I thought was a good person. One afternoon, while we were all sleeping, you know, we draw the curtains in the daytime and everybody's strung out over bunks in the barracks, I had the urge to urinate. We're talking about God's good grace here. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but God can save people in anywhere He wants to. I had the urge to urinate, so I got up and I walked down to the barracks bathroom. I went into a urinal, and John was there shaving. So it was just John and I alone in the barracks bathroom there. And so I saw him there shaving, and I said to him, I said, hey, John, good to see you. Well, I'm standing there at the urinal. Hey, John, good to see you. Hey, I'm really trying to change my life here, and I'm really trying to be a good person. And John basically said to me, well, that's great, but that's not going to save you. And then he gave me a verse from Isaiah 64:6. It says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our works are like filthy rags before God. So this really shook me, and this was the first time I experienced the fear of the Lord right there at that bathroom urinal. It was the first time that the Holy Spirit had given me discernment for the Word of God. And it was the first time also that the Lord permitted me to understand that I was unclean and that I was in bad standing with Him, that I was a sinner. And then it was God's Word that had worked and revealed that I wasn't good enough. You know, and I said to John, not necessarily with my hands like this, but, you know, hey, what's the difference here? What do you mean? You're a good person. What do you mean? If you're a good person, you have, you know, you got good works. What are you talking about here? What's the difference? What's the big difference? Why is not being a good person not good enough? And so he shared with me Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So the Lord showed me at that urinal that it wasn't by works, it wasn't by anything that I could do to merit His grace or to merit His favor. That it was all His gift. And then like the book of Jonah says, salvation is of the Lord. It's His. So in the last part of the verse 5 of Isaiah 64, it asks the question, what must we do to be saved? And that's what I said to John next. I said, well, then what do I got to do to be saved? How can I be saved? If I can't be saved by being a good person, if it's a gift of God, how can I be saved? And he told me, well, you're going to have to go to God. You're going to have to ask God for forgiveness. You're going to have God, ask God for his mercy, and you're going to ask God for salvation. And then he left. So when I was done, I went back to the room, and again, the room's dark, and there's guys laying on the bunks and all that stuff. I got down on my hands and knees, and I didn't even know how to pray to God, but I said, I know I'm a sinner. Please save me. You know, I don't know what I have to do, but show me. And, I can't say that I was saved at that point. I won't tell anybody that. And the reason I say that is because my life as a soldier really had no saving works. There was no works of grace in my life while I served as a soldier. And there were no fruits of spirit in my life either as I served as a soldier. In fact, most of what I did, I'm ashamed of. There's a pastor's sermon that I listened to from the States. He says if we're saved, saving grace is demonstrated by three things. You have a knowledge of the gospel moves you, and there's a commitment to the gospel. Now, after this trip to the bathroom, had a small knowledge of the gospel. The gospel had definitely moved me. I had the fear of God. But I won't sit here and tell you that I had committed myself to the gospel at that time. Now, I tried to get involved in Christian studies while I was in Italy when I had time off. And there were charismatic brethren there. And I ended up leaving them because I'd go to these meetings and they'd invite me up front. And I said that I had prayed and I'd asked the Lord to save me. And they'd take me up front and they'd lay their hands on me and wanted me to speak in tongues. And after this happened about three times, they said, we think there's a problem with you. We don't think you're saved at all because you're not speaking in tongues. And I said, well, I'm not gonna manufacture a gift of tongues for you guys to show that I'm saved. So I ended up leaving them. And what I did was I just sort of bounced around places here and there for quite some time. I married Hortensia in 1988. We got married, and eventually we started attending a Spanish-speaking Baptist church. It was just outside of Fort Bragg in North Carolina, where I was stationed. But it wasn't until I decided to leave the service that I finally began to attend church regularly. And once I started to attend church regularly, then I was, under the Word of God, and I was with other Christians, and that's really when I started to grow as a Christian myself. That would have been somewhere around the end of 1997, 1998. Now, the pastor there eventually asked me to be a teacher in the church. The pastor also asked me to be a deacon. And as I've said to you often, because I went through Ranger training, Special Forces, and all that good stuff, I was always too stupid to quit. Well, in this case, I was too stupid to say no to the pastor. So I started teaching. I became a deacon. And, he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. I still don't see it in me. But I started to serve the church that way. If any of you are here today and you want to grow more as a Christian, I would encourage you to go to your home group leaders. I'd encourage you to go to the leadership of the church here and tell them that you want to start teaching, even if you don't think you can do it. This guy came to me and he wanted me to teach in Spanish, okay? And I said yes to him, okay? So, I mean, if I can do that, well, then go to the leadership of your home groups, go to the leadership of the church here, tell them you want to teach. And the reason I tell you that is because you can't be lazy as a teacher. You have to prepare classes, and you have to get into the Word of God. And if you want to really grow, that's the way to do it. Get into the Word like that, and you're forced to prepare. I left the service in 1999. And we went down to Panama. We retired in Panama. And the Lord just put in me this desire to learn more and more and more. And I couldn't get enough Christian literature, and I couldn't read my Bible enough. I couldn't listen to enough sermons. And the church in Pennsylvania, where we'll be attending when we go back, they kept sending me these cassettes. And I'd be listening to these cassettes regularly. It was Reformed preaching. It was expository preaching. I was teaching Sunday school classes at the church in Panama. Well, I was teaching Bible studies every Wednesday in Panama. In our home, we had a Bible study in our home. One day we had 60 people there, but usually our attendance was about 25 people regularly at our home in Panama on Thursday evenings. So, again, it was just a time of growth for me, a time to really get into the Word. And, you know, the Lord used all this to help me grow as a Christian. Now, I got a job with the American Battle Monuments Commission, the guys I work for right now. That took us to Mexico. We were there for 2 years. Again, a Spanish-speaking church. We went to a Presbyterian church, Reformed church. They asked me to teach there. I became a teacher there as well. We went back to Panama in 2003. There were no Reformed churches in Panama when we went back to Panama. But I knew a pastor there that was of the Reformed doctrine, and he had a church in Panama, so we started to attend at his church. And after about a year, he came to me, and I ended up working as a deacon for him. I ended up preaching occasionally when he was absent, and I also did Bible studies. But he came to me, and he asked me to prepare a study on the book of Romans. And when it took us months to get through it, but every Wednesday evening, we'd have a study in the book of Romans. And the Lord used that to start a reform movement there in that church and eventually in the country of Panama. But it was painful. It was painful because a lot of people started rejecting the doctrine. There was a big split in the church. The church had been a member of the Baptist Convention, and there was a split with the convention. So it was a very, very hard period of time for everyone there. But usually the Lord has to tear things down before he begins to build them back up. And, you know, I'm happy to say to you today that there's six reformed works now in the Republic of Panama. So that was really something for us to see there. Now, there's a lot I still don't know. For those that know me, you'll know that's true. But, you know, sometimes I'm amazed how much I really don't know, you know. And sometimes I'll be honest with you, you know, my conduct, I even wonder if I am saved at times. But it's not by works that we're saved. It's by God's grace. So I can't lose my salvation when I do bad things either. I want to take this opportunity to thank you all here, too. I'm still learning. And, you know, we've had the chance to be with you all for 2 years now. And I've learned a lot from you all, too. And, you know, as we come together this morning and sharing the Lord's Supper, I'm happy to tell you that I am a member here of this church. And you've shown, or Tenzi and I, love and what true fellowship really means as Christian believers. And I think giving us a small glimpse of what fellowship in heaven is going to be like. And that is something that we've never experienced before in any church that we've been to. So I would like to thank you for that. And again, as we share in the Lord's Supper, I think that we have a better knowledge after being with you all, an understanding of what it means to be united with other believers as one heart, one body, one mind, and one spirit. So thank you.